You're listening to the Ideas Network, and we're getting some new neighbors here on The Morning Show starting today. You can hear 1A, hosted by Jen White, live at 9, right after our show. On Point is moving to 1 this afternoon, and we're also welcoming a new show to our day. It's called The Takeaway, and it airs at 2 this afternoon. I'd ask you to please take a listen and let us know what you think, and you can find the complete details on our website at wpr.org/fall2020. So what's going to happen in what's being described as a skeletal special session of our Wisconsin State Senate? Our next guest is the Wisconsin State Senator representing parts of Kenosha and Racine counties. You're listening to the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show, and I'm Lee Rayburn, in for Kate Archer-Kent. Our next guest has also served 29 years on the Racine Police Force and served for 10 years on the Racine Police and Fire Commission. Republican State Senator Van Wongaard joins us with his expertise and proposals for reforming law enforcement and our criminal justice system. He's also here to answer any of your questions at 1-800-642-1234. State Senator Wongaard, good morning and thank you for joining us.
Morning, Lee. How are you this morning? Thank you for the opportunity to talk to you.
Appreciate the time and interested in knowing what your expectations are with the gaveling in of the State Senate this afternoon.
Well, you know, it's a procedural issue at this point. So what will happen is, my understanding, the majority leader will gavel in, and then he will set the session to the next date that we'll probably have the discussion. So then it puts it on our terms, and we can determine, you know, how we're going to deal with the bills that are being proposed.
And you have a public safety pact, which is a package of 8 bills. Do you expect that those will be on the agenda?
I don't know that they'll all be considered at this time, but I know that we've been working on the 8 bills. There's another bill that's been worked on also for some time by Senator Teston and Representative Ott that deals with a lot of issues that are not dealt with in this pack too. So there's other stuff that's going to be coming forward that's been being worked on over the last months and in some cases the last couple of years to bring things together to make modifications to our legal system.
I just think you're the perfect person to talk to this morning with your position in the State Senate, your experience as a police officer in southeastern Wisconsin and serving on the Police and Fire Commission. You publicly condemned the police killing of George Floyd and said those officers involved were rightfully charged, and you did so in the aftermath of the death of George Floyd. So with all of your experience, State Senator Wongaard, I'd be curious to know what you saw in those videos of Jacob Blake being shot. What was your reaction?
Well, one of the difficulties is we're getting a 20-second clip. So you're only getting one perspective of what actually happened. And this is the problem. Oftentimes we look at something like that from one perspective, one short video clip, and we think that we know it all. And that's not really the way it works. When we deal with situations like this, and it's a life and death encounter, law enforcement has a lot of things going on. Now, in this one, we found out through what's been released by the Department of Justice, there was much, much more to this, indicating that this gentleman had prior issues, had warrants out, was the focus of the call for service, because the officers didn't just come upon him. It was actually a call for service for the way that this individual was treating another individual. And they tried to take him into custody, and this guy refused. So he resisted arrest and started walking away. Apparently, from what we're hearing, we had the officers attempt to tase him. And that's another thing that's in the force continuum that's normally non-lethal, you know, to be able to get that person under control, get him in handcuffs, and then deal with the issue. But that didn't work for some reason. And a second one didn't deploy properly either, or could not be used. And so then the officers are going to the next scale because of what the threats are reportedly occurring from this individual. And, of course, once you get to the car, even in the 20-second clip, I've seen some other different angles that have come out from this that have been other video shots that show as he's getting to the car, now when you get to the car, you open the door, you know, your right leg goes in, and then you sit down and your left leg goes in because you're going to go in and you're going to drive away. Or you turn around, sit your butt down on the seat, swing both legs in. When you're getting to a vehicle, you open a door and you reach in and bend down. That's normally what happens when somebody's reaching for something under the seat. And so we'll have to see what comes out here. Apparently this fellow did admit to having possession, a knife in his possession, which is a deadly weapon. And at the point that the officers made the stop or were trying to get him to come back from the vehicle, they've been shouting commands to him that he was not following.
State Senator Wongard, I follow this, but let me ask about your reaction to the two more killed in Kenosha last Tuesday with three people shot and the subsequent arrest of a 17-year-old in Illinois. What's your reaction to that? What can we do about this?
Well, that's a very, very sad situation where we have any time that people take things into their own hands, that's not a good thing. You know, we created the situation by not having overwhelming force initially in Kenosha, I think, that would have shut this down right away. And so there would have been a need for anybody to come up and do anything to protect any properties.
Are you still calling for overwhelming force?
Absolutely. I think we need to continue that presence until they sort things out in Kenosha and to make sure that we don't have individuals coming back and creating more havoc and loss of more potentially buildings and lives. That's the one thing you don't want to see happen anywhere. I mean, you know, this is America. We should be able to, you know, say what we want to say pretty much so, except for, you know, fire in a theater type thing, you know. But I mean, you know, people are just so willing to just turn this thing around and use this as an excuse. I think the people that are pushing these things with the fires and things, you know, I don't think they belong here, because if they knew the community and they knew what they were doing, just like up in Racine, we had issues here with people burning things up here only a few weeks ago. And these fellas and gals, I think it was a gal and a man, threw Molotov cocktails at the Thelma Orr COP house. And Thelma was somebody who was a black lady, just a wonderful lady. I mean, I never even thought of her being a person of color. You know, she was just an outgoing, really neat lady. And so we named our COP house after our community policing house. And they tried to burn it down. I mean, this was the pillar of what we're trying to accomplish here, having a conversation.
So it goes to the heart of the relationship of law enforcement and communities of color, and with the focus on southeastern Wisconsin, where you served for almost 30 years with a badge. State Senator Van Wongard, do you understand the tension between law enforcement and communities of color?
I do. And the difficulty here is that a lot of this tension is created outside of that community. In other words, the media, a lot of times, fuels this and fuels the willingness for people to just pick up and just hate the police. I mean, we all hate to see a police officer behind us when we're going down the road and we look down and we're 5 miles over the speed limit. All of a sudden, we're thinking, "Oh no, I know I'm in violation. I know I'm wrong. I know the police are here." Or when somebody's doing wrong, they know they shouldn't be doing.
Yeah,
you don't want to have the police there, right? I mean, and the hackles go up in the back of your neck. Same thing happens with me when I've had an officer behind me and I've been 5 miles over, you know. And it's just, you think about those things happening, or if you had a bad experience with a family member. But taking it out that way in a violent way, it never is positive. That's never something that is going to drive things to a positive conclusion. You know, that's why we talk about process. And I think our Josh Collar, Attorney General, stepped in and said, look, this is a process. We have to follow the process. And this is why it's so important. Like I said in the beginning, you know, we have the ability to be able to have all of this media, and everybody's got a phone and you get it from a different angle. And all of a sudden you find out that, you know, it's not exactly what they've put up there fuels the fire, because they didn't know. They thought it was something different that happened than what actually happened. There was more to it.
Can you address the concerns of black people in southeastern Wisconsin feeling like they're under attack from law enforcement? How do you answer that when that is what they say to you?
Well, that's not what I hear from a lot of my constituents in my district, and from a lot of individuals that I know personally that are saying, what is going on? This is, and this makes it bad. This when we have two or three or 10 or 20 people from outside that are trying to stir the pot that have no clue what's going on in our community, and they're stirring the pot. And then we have 1,000 people that say, wait a minute, that's not what's going on here. We work very well. It's just like pulling the police out of the school system. You know, we had somebody who is the president of the Racine Education Association. She's so angry at police, she wants to have them pulled out of all the schools. Yet you have the officers that have been working in the schools since 1973, because I was one of the first officers working in the high schools back in 1973. When I started on the police department in 72, the next year I was working in the schools.
Mm-hmm.
We become a team member with those teachers that are in that school setting and built relationships with many of those young people in the school that we've resolved issues before it became to a situation where they needed to have some type of intervention, whether it be from the school or it be from law enforcement. So they solved a lot of issues and responded to a lot of assistance calls within the school system. She just wants to arbitrarily take them out. You know, and this absolutely makes no sense, especially when the teachers in that setting are saying, wait a minute, you're not taking my officers away. We would not be able to function the way we do in the school system. And waiting for the call for service for somebody to respond from outside the school system. We had, at that time, over 3,000 students at Park High School, and it's a community within the community.
Yeah.
And now you're calling for a police officer, and it's going to take 10, 15 minutes before they get to the school, and then another 5 or 10 minutes before they figure out where they got to go in the school.
State Senator Van Wongard is our guest. State Senator for the 21st District, representing parts of Kenosha and Racine counties. Also a retired police officer from Racine, and with the State Senate gaveling in today, would be interested to know what you would have to ask State Senator Van Wongard here at 1-800-642-1234. Your questions next. I'm Lee Rayburn. You're listening to the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. This is the Ideas Network. State Senator Van Wongard's our guest for this half of the State Capitol Report, and he's taking your calls at 1-800-642-1234. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn, and with the State Senate gaveling in today for the first time since April, and with 8 bills at the ready from Senator Wongard, he stands ready to act. Wisconsin Senate may remain in session and take up numerous bills over months. Whatever the outcome, if any, the governor is bound to have the final say, at least until Republicans gain a veto-proof majority in the legislature, which is what they're shooting for as we all head towards November, just six seats shy of that supermajority. Van Wongard represents the 21st District in southeastern Wisconsin in our state Senate. And let's go to the phones now with Ellen in Germantown. Ellen, you're on the Ideas Network. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Wongard. I was just really taken aback by a comment you made just a little while ago when you were describing a facility that was apparently people tried to start on fire. It was named after a wonderful Black woman. And you mentioned that you didn't even see her color, which I find incredibly insulting and frustrating in the fact that that's such an easy thing for a Caucasian to say. And people of color also get very insulted that means that you don't understand her heritage, her background, who she is, where she came from, as if she's a transparent person. And so I feel that you may not understand the very foundation of people's frustration when you yourself throw that comment out as if it's a compliment.
Sure. Well, first of all, you don't know me. Second of all, I knew Thelma very well personally. And I worked with her over that time when we put our first house in Racine, which was her house. So I got the opportunity to work with her. Just like when somebody says, geez, I have a lot of Black friends or I have a lot of brown friends. I had to stop to think about the ones that are actually people of color, because I don't see them as a person of color at that point, because I don't take and sort people out by what color they are. When I work with people and build relationships, I build relationships with the person, and I look at their character, not the color of their skin. And this is what Martin Luther King looked for, you know, in his great speech when he gave it. That sticks in my mind continuously.
I understand where you're coming from. I remember the old T-shirts that "Love Sees No Color." I think it was a Benetton or something from back in the day. But it was also pointed out that the skin color defines the American experience for many in this country.
Totally get it. Totally get it. You know, like what really disappointed me with Kenosha, as an example, over a 100-year-old building of the Danish Brotherhood, which I have been a member of since I was a youngster. And I come from a Danish background, okay? And, you know, we could talk about our descent and where we came from and be really proud of it, but then we come back and we look at where we're at, and if we don't build good relationships and we don't have honest relationships and we don't have the ability to be able to talk about the issues and put color and everything aside, these bills that we're working on right now, I can tell you right now, these are not going to be politicized. And I had this discussion with the governor right after June when he came through this first package. And I've spent hours on the phone with the governor personally talking about his bills and the bills I'm bringing forward. So this isn't just some other thing that just got pulled out of the sky. I've been working with the governor and the governor's office and its staff for the last several months working on this, as well as the attorney general and as well as every other police organization, victim organization that we have in Wisconsin. We have been working on these bills here, not basing them on whether you're a Republican or you are a Democrat. And there's several Democrats that support these bills that we're working with. Also, colleagues on the other side of the aisle. We have the Black Caucus that is supporting some of the bills I'm bringing forward. You know, so, and I don't throw that out there because, you know what, it doesn't make any difference where they came from or what they're doing. We're all working together on this to try to resolve this and solve this so that it becomes a positive thing to what we're doing, that we have a good, clear process so everybody understands what's going on. You can look at the process, and as long as you stay within the process, you're going to get a result that's going to be the kind of result that should come out of that because of what data you put into it. But if you don't allow the process to work, then you have a process usually that's not the product you want, because you know, you're not looking at all of the information and you're not looking at it from a perspective that you're being objective. It's like doing any investigation. You got to ask a lot of questions and correlate all the answers before you can come up with a good product.
State Senator, we've got a lot of people who'd like to talk to you here, and I want to let folks know that a line to State Senator Van Wongard is yours for the remainder of the hour at 1-800-642-1234. Anthony in Brookfield, you're on the Ideas Network. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi. Good morning, Senator. I'd like to ask you a question. Earlier, you said you would like people to respect the process when it comes to the police. But we currently have a judicial system in America that largely benefits the rich, where the poor and the rich are unable to achieve equal representation under that. And often, the poor are charged much more harshly due to the rich because they can't tie up the court systems. What would you say we need to do to fix that problem?
Well, I don't know that I see that the way that you've hypothesized it. Maybe it is in other states, you know, as you're talking about how the judicial system works in other states, because each state has their own justice system, and they do things a little bit differently in each state. Here in Wisconsin, the state of Wisconsin, we have a very, very proactive judicial system, and we have as an example, the Judicial Council, which has members from all different areas of the judicial system, including the Supreme Court, the defense attorneys, the governor's office, the attorney general's office, the legislature, and from the people that are in our colleges, from the law schools. So that judicial council works through a lot of the issues that help make the judicial system better. Is it perfect? No. But it's accountable if you've got a good process and you look at what's happening within that process. And that's why it's so important that we stay engaged. I don't like to see people that are locked up for very low bails that sit in there for lengthy periods of time. That should not be happening. And we're working to resolve that. I don't see cash bail ever really going away, because I think we need to continue to have that. Just for the purpose of making sure that people don't go back out and do the same thing twice, and then we have a continuing problem. But I think that, you know, I've worked on a couple different committees that have looked at that, and commissions that were bringing those things forward. And they don't happen necessarily like, you know, at the snap of a finger. This takes time to get all of the players together, because it's a lot more complex than people really realize. But when I talk about the process, especially the judicial process, if we allow the process to work, and the process is, I hate these cliches with like transparency, but it should be. You should be able to look at it and figure out what's going on within that process and what step they're in. It just makes it so much easier for people to follow what's happening. And like I said, as long as you stay within that process so that you're following all the guides, you've got a better chance of having a fair process.
State Senator Weingard, President Trump is looking to visit Kenosha tomorrow, and Governor Evers has sent the president a letter asking him to stay away for the time being. What would you like to see happen as the events play out here in our backyard and your state senate district?
I'd like to see the president here. I think it speaks volumes that, number one, that he got involved in this process so much sooner than past presidents have. And thank God we haven't had this kind of an issue go on in our country very often. But, you know, when you see that he's willing to get involved in the process, I would like to see him here so he could see exactly what has happened and see what a great community we have and see the leadership of local law enforcement that is working to resolve some of these issues with local elected officials. And I got to tell you, we don't always agree with each other, you know, as local elected officials, you know, but I'll tell you, when it comes down to an issue and we're working on an issue and we're at the table, we get a lot more solved because we have people actually sitting at the table and throwing ideas out and resolving our own conflicts. So problem solving becomes a very, very important part. And I have to say that I'm pretty proud of how usually we all sit down and we all work together pretty well. Don't always agree on how to get there. But I got to tell you, I mean, Jim Cruiser, our county exec from down in Kenosha.
Ben, I apologize. We're plumb out of time here. We're going to need more time with you, sir, but I appreciate the time you gave us this morning. Thank you so much.
Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Ben Weingard, Republican State Senator, Majority Caucus Chair for Wisconsin's 21st District. Just ahead, we'll hear from the new host of NPR's 1A, which you can hear right after us today, Jen White. I'm Lee Rayburn, and this is the State Capitol Report. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.